right.
you know, not kill somebody. I was just like, yeah, I'm sick of you. Get out of my face. Poke, you know.
poke.
Poke. Oh. That's me poking somebody with a sword and killing them. Poke. Yeah.
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode 219 and Niner, and I'm Matt.
And I'm Scott.
Ash.
Whoa. Sorry.
Everybody at the same time.
Well, we got them in. Don't worry.
And together, we're Matt, Scott, and Ash.
Yeah, we did it.
So we have.
I sound wonderful, so I apologize to everybody in advance.
Oh, that's okay. I couldn't move. I could not move like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was in a pile on the bathroom floor for like four
let's
hours.
Let's just talk about sickness this whole podcast.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I'd never been that sick before in my life.
It was funny because on Slack, it was the morning and you're like, yeah, my wife's not feeling well. I'm like, you're next. And you're like, no way. And then like 12 hours later, I look down in Slack. You're like, I am pooping and vomiting at the same time.
Oh, my God. It's so, I mean, I'm sad. I'm sorry that we all got sick, but I'm so glad that she asked me to come home when I did, because I think if I would have tried to stay at work that day, I would have been sleeping in the bathroom that night because I wouldn't have been able to drive home, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been brutal.
Yeah, I probably would have needed like an ambulance or something to take me back to the house. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, your sickness is a lot better than mine. I'm just a head cold, but you know, whatever. Well,
it doesn't need to be a competition. Let's just all get better.
It is a competition, Scott, and you're winning. Sure.
Let's do the rundown.
Cool. So today could be weird. We don't know. We're going to do a podcast, right?
We are. Yeah. We're just going to kind of wing it. And today's just going to be a hangout session. So we don't have anything planned. We're just going to literally just go for it.
Yeah. I think we're deviating from our plan programming. And then if plans change, then we adapt. But that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll be all right.
Everything's good.
What it really boils down to is we rarely have this time blocked out anymore. And so we're definitely going to use it.
Yeah, exactly. That is really what it is.
Yeah.
Because
even I was like, I don't know, I don't sound good, guys. Maybe I won't be on it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get on and hang out. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's fine.
That's what we do.
Indeed.
Well, this episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. Did you guys get the January Loot Crate?
I did.
What was in it?
Oh, man. Let me think for a minute here. I completely am forgetting. What was the theme of January already?
Space, I believe.
Was it space? I completely don't remember because you know what I did.
I put you on the spot and I ruined it.
No, sorry. You know what I did? I broke down. I had a bunch of crates and I was actually like, I need to start storing these. And so I took out a lot of stuff out of the crates that were still in the crates. And so my brain is just telling me everything that was ever in Loot Crate right now. So I remember I really liked
something from Alien.
Oh, I think it was Invasion.
Invasion.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was a really awesome X-Files shirt. Cool. If you're an X-Files fan, X-Files, of course, just came back. So an awesome X-Files shirt for fans. There was something that I really loved. There was a face hugger plush toy from Aliens.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it came with a rubber band that you can rubber band it to different objects, like your pets, your wife's thigh, like whatever you want to face hug, you can face hug. So that was pretty cool. And they actually started doing something neat. They're guaranteeing a shirt with every crate now in 2016. So every crate's going to have a shirt. And also the pins have gotten, they're more like the Disney collectible pins or the PAX pins. So they're like classy pins every single month. So there's like if you're a pin collector, now is the time to subscribe to Loot Crate.
Is your wife taking those from you?
She thought they were cool. She is definitely a pin collector.
That's cool. Well, this month is pack your crossbow and load up on chimichangas. Oh boy. Get exclusive items from Walking Dead and Deadpool, including a t-shirt and two figures. Ooh. This year, Loot Crate is promising a new custom shirt every crate, as well as new collectible pins each and every month. Everybody get looty. So go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA, use the code ratedNA, and get 10% off your Loot Crate order. I'm actually sort of excited about this Deadpool movie. I know you're not, Ash, but I'm ready for it.
You know what? The marketing has actually sold me on it.
Did you see the romantic comedy marketing that they're doing?
I did. I saw the romantic comedy marketing. I saw the billboard. And, you know, it's looking really good. I think I'm excited about it now.
I really think they've embraced what Deadpool is supposed to be and, like, you know, just made him like an idiot, badass merc kind of guy. So
yeah,
hopefully it works out.
Absolutely. Hey, time out real quick. Can you guys hear me again?
Yeah.
I had this weird problem again is happening with the microphone where like I lose all the volume in what I can hear in my headphones.
Weird.
And that probably means check. Yeah, well.
Everything's like crystal clear on my end, so.
Yep.
Good. It's still good. Recording though, and it's still showing up on the levels, but the volume in the headset is not up. That's
maybe
really weird.
Your headset is broken.
Do you think so?
Could be.
Check. Oh, hold on. Psych. Sorry about that, guys.
It's all right.
You know what it is?
Can we leave this in?
Sure, if you want.
This can be the bulk of the podcast.
I'll tell you exactly what the problem is. The problem is that this box that I'm recording the microphone in has two channels.
Oh.
And so when I'm listening to myself, it only comes in through one channel.
Oh.
So
the problem is between the chair and the keyboard?
Yes, the problem is between the chair and the keyboard. Periodically, I leave one ear. A little inside baseball. I like to leave one ear on, right? So I can listen to things outside of the room. And occasionally I'll switch, you know, so my little ears don't get sore while I'm wearing these headphones. We work so hard, guys. My ears get sore while we wear the headphones, you know?
That's true.
So I switch them from time to time. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I can't hear myself anymore.
Ash, are you still using that janky like DJ headset?
Yeah, I use DJ headset.
Is it just a mono, like single?
Yeah, it's stereo in one ear. If you must know.
Yeah, but then like, can you switch it to the other ear if you need to?
There is no other ear. That's the thing.
No, it only has one ear.
No, I'm saying, is it reversible? Like,
sure, you can just fucking flip it over, man.
No, he's not allowed to. Please show up and say no.
You know how it is. Some headsets are made to only be worn one way. They're not flippable.
No, I only, this is, by the way, for our listeners, this is this week's podcast. So yes, I wear one ear headphones, and that's because when I have both on, I think I sound funny to myself. So right. I feel like my voice is more normal when I only have one ear covered.
I think
listening, I know, that's completely in my head.
Listening to the podcast in both headphones is like too much. It's
sensory
overload, you know?
It is. It's too much podcast.
I wear Bose in-ears because I'm cool, and I only wear one of them as well.
You're a fancy,
sounds
man.
Weird. It's because I use headphones a lot more than you guys do because I commute with headphones.
Ah, so yes. So it's
I bought myself a nice pair of headphones to commute with.
Much more of a serious endeavor for you.
Yes, and I've had these for 3 years, and they have like little rubber pieces, you know, that like go in your ear that hook up inside of your ear. Hole,
canal,
whatever.
Your ear hole. Yeah, sure.
And they keep like, I've had them for 3 years and the rubber part keeps breaking, but for like $3 I just replace them on Amazon, and I've made this like nice set of headphones last for a very long time because of it. Proud of myself. It's a thrifty fix.
Yeah,
very nice.
Episode 219, thrifty fix.
All right.
I don't,
hey, what have you guys been up to this
is there
week?
A rundown? Probably not, right?
No, there's no rundown.
Okay, I'll drop the rundown in before we just talk about our headphones and our headphones. Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Perfect. I'm leaving that in too. Okay.
Okay.
So, Matt, what's going on?
I lived through a blizzard this week.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, you did live through the snowpocalypse now.
Yeah. So, Friday last week, we were hanging out, and everybody that lived here other than me was going like, it's not going to be a big deal. It's just going to be like last year where they said there's going to be a blizzard, and there's going to be like 6 inches, and then nothing happens. And I was like, I don't know. It looks like it's a pretty big freaking deal. And I was like, we were supposed to drive to Boston on Saturday to go see a band called Murder City Devils, and I canceled it, thankfully, on Friday. I said, like, there's no way this is going to happen, so we canceled the hotel and, you know, whatever else. And then, sure enough, we woke up on Saturday morning at, like, 8 or 9 a.m., and it was already probably 8 to 10 inches of snow on the ground, and it just kept going from there. And by 10 p.m. at night, I think we had almost 2.5 feet of snow.
Jeez, so, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I saw the photos. Like your street was buried under snow.
Yeah, they did not send plows. They didn't try to send plows around during it. So like the ground was, it was like just, it was ridiculous. We went out in it at like 5 p.m. and walked around, and it was like, you know, up past your calf, kind of high, and
wow,
it was fun. It was really powder snow, like, which is not what we usually get here, and so it was like fun snow, if you will. But
yeah.
But it was kind of ridiculous. It was insane. We're still underneath it. It's been 40 all week long, so a lot of it's kind of melted off, but there's still snow all over the place. We haven't moved our car yet or anything.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
Yeah, crazy. So I did that, but I didn't end up gaming as much as I thought I would. I ended up watching a lot of TV with Melissa, and so we caught up on we watched the new X-Files. We're all caught up on The Expanse, and I actually, as a deal for watching, Melissa never watched The X-Files growing up, so as a deal, she is starting to watch the original X-Files.
Okay.
And I am watching Buffy.
Ah.
So, it's a good trade-off.
Never watched Buffy. Yeah, the first season is very 90s.
Oh, yeah, season's
super,
rough,
man. Super 90s. Yeah.
First season's rough. Once you get about halfway through season two, that's when you're going to be like, oh, I get why people really like this.
That's what I figured. Like, I don't mind, you know, whatever. I'll get through it, but it's fine. It's good. It's very Joss Whedon, you can tell, you know, and it's good otherwise. But I don't know what else. You know, watched all the regular TV. Didn't really binge on too much. Oh, I know what we watched. Have you guys watched The Great British Bake Off?
No, what is that? I mean, I know I can derive what it is.
Is it about baking?
Yeah, it's on Netflix, and it was like a PBS show, I guess. And it's like a baking competition in England. It is the single most British thing I have ever watched in my entire life. They're very like stiff upper lip kind of like the whole time. So like when they get kicked off, it's just regular people doing like baking challenges. And when they get like kicked off the show, you know, in America, it's always like, fuck them, I'll come back and open my own restaurant. I'll be the best thing ever. You know, like they're always like tough or like crying, one of the two. Yeah, the Great British Bake Off, they're kind of like, they're like, okay, well, you know, I understand. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yep. Nope, I get it. I'm just going to go ahead and go. Thank you. Thank you very much. And okay, thank you. Yep. Okay, thank you. And they like walk off the set. It's like so amazingly British. I love it.
Wow.
But yeah, we watched a bunch of that the other night for no reason whatsoever. We were both sick and just kind of like melted into the couch and we watched that show. So that's about all I've really been doing, just digging myself out of snow and watching TV.
Snow days.
Yeah. Mm. What about you, guy? How about you, Ash?
Let's see. I played Division Beta, which I guess will be the main thing that we talk about at some point.
Sure.
Today. So we played that. I watched The Killing. Not the whole first season, but have you guys heard of The Killing before?
Nope.
So The Killing's on Netflix now. I guess Netflix picked up distribution of its fourth season. So there's, I think, four seasons on Netflix now. And it's sort of a...
Is this the American one or the Danish one?
This is the American version.
Yeah.
It's the American version, which I think came out in 2009, 2010. So it's, I guess, older?
A little bit, but not so
A little yet. Bit, yeah. But it's absolutely gorgeous. So it was filmed up in the Pacific Northwest, involves a homicide detective and her new partner who just moved over from narcotics or narco, as they say in the show. And the whole show revolves around a single murder. So it's not a murder of the week, which gets really old in procedurals. So this is all about really digging into the murder of this young girl and, you know, her family's history and all the sort of dark and crazy things that are going on inside this town. So I think we're about maybe six or seven episodes into the first season. And it's really, really solid. I mean, it's you know, one of those dark, solemn kind of shows. So you have to be in the mood for that. But it's good. It's really, really well done. So if you're into that kind of, you know, dark murder mystery kind of stuff, that's good. And the other thing that I've been trying to talk to you guys about is a podcast. I finally started listening to shows again. And this podcast is called Criminal. And it's done out of the Raleigh-Durham area. And it's, I think, 35 or 36 episodes in. And it's really cool. If you're into true crime at all, it's incredibly well produced. And all they do is analyze different crimes that have taken place historically. They talk to people that were there to experience the crimes or even committed the crimes. They go into the mentality of not just like killers and you know, and folks like that, but also people that are counterfeiters and robbers and you know, they analyze, you know, police procedure. But anyway, it sounds really, really fucking dull, but it's so well produced. It's just great storytelling. Each episode's only about, you know, 20, 25 minutes long, so they're short. But it's incredibly fascinating. So definitely check out Criminal Podcast if you guys are into true crime and have a drive or something to do. So
that's awesome. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. In terms of games and stuff, not much this week. Just like I said, Division Beta, which I guess we'll talk about. What about you, Scott?
Let's see. Before I got sick, I've also been playing the Division Beta, so we'll talk about that. Before I got sick, I completed Tales from the Borderlands.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I still haven't beaten it.
I haven't beaten it yet either. Yeah.
Yeah. It is like, because, you know, you keep seeing various outlets and places saying, oh, this could be game of the year. I really do think it was, you know, it certainly could be a contender for a game of the year kind of game.
Really?
Just because of the humor and the situations that are set up throughout the game and the voice acting, like all of it is really solid. And kind of how it all comes together in the end, I thought was pretty clever as well. So definitely a fun game, and probably one of Telltale's best best games.
I'm still the only one who's played Wolf Among Us out of the three of us,
that's,
right?
I think that's next for me. I think once the Division Beta is over, I think I'm going to get into that next.
It is. I feel like it's more... So, like, Tales of the Borderlands is definitely funnier and has, like, a much lighter, kind of, like, faster-moving story.
Mm-hmm.
But Wolf Among Us is much more, like, dark and engaging, I feel like.
Cool.
So... you have to check it out.
Cool. I also finished Game of Thrones before that, so I was trying to get caught up.
You know, nice.
I have mixed feelings about the way the game played out. Have you either you played it or finished it? Or
I gave up after the first chapter.
I think I got through episode 3 or 4 of Game of Thrones, and then I just kind of it's when crunch hit, so I haven't gone back to play.
Oh, okay. I mean, I won't say anything about it. I was just very confused by the ending. In the final episode, like the sort of, you know, the way that the game concluded, I was very confused by it. So, I, you know, in my opinion, that game is definitely more about the journey, you know, than
no, that sucks. Yeah. That sucks. Because I mean, I always knew it was going to be challenging because it can't, where it exists in the timeline is like around, I don't know, the third season or something like that. So we already know where it's going to go in terms of the larger canon of Game of Thrones.
Right.
So, you know, it can't alter too much. That being said, you know, I always kind of hoped there would be something cool that happened at the end of that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I won't say if it's cool or not cool or whatever. Something I did sort of learned through the process of playing Life is Strange and then subsequently trying to finish Game of Thrones after that, I really learned to just commit to choices in these types of games.
Oh, right. Yeah. Instead of like trying to like figure out the best path and go back and
do whatever. And especially in a game like Game of Thrones, where you know that literally anything is within the realm of possibility in a game like that, sort of narratively speaking, I just started making choices. I was like, no, fuck you, get out of my face. I'm killing you. And I like this guy, even though he's an asshole. Like, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. And that for me playing the Game of Thrones game was really like kind of liberating and exciting to do that. So
you joined my side of just creating your own story and going with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially, you know, when it's not something that is measured as it is in like a Mass Effect game, for example,
right.
Where you can just make choices and live the narrative however you want. That's really fun to do. So I did not play Game of Thrones trying to please anybody or be nice or not,
right.
You know, not kill somebody. I was just like, yeah, I'm sick of you. Get out of my face. Poke, you know,
poke.
That's me poking somebody with a sword and killing them. Poke. Yeah. And then, I played Ori in the Blind Forest, which is, I'm going to spend a couple minutes talking about that. So it is a, Metroid style, you know, castle Metroidvania game, if you will. And it's designed to be intentionally challenging. So it's a lot of platforming, you know, 2D side scroller. You unlock abilities over time. The game is gorgeous and there's a lot of really good music in the game. And I think the ability progression is really interesting too. And then there are, the game is like long if you try to find everything and short if you don't, if that makes any sense. You know, if you think back to the original Super Metroid, you could complete that game in I think an hour and 20 minutes if you were doing like a speed run.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I thought it was a really fun game, but I'm sort of torn on games that emphasize things like, you know, there's three achievements actually, one for completing the game without using any abilities, so other than the things that you unlock through story progression, not upgrading anything, because there are three upgrade trees in the game, there is an achievement for playing through the game without dying, which in a game that is designed to be challenging, I'll talk about that in a second. And then there's another achievement for completing the game in under 3 hours, which I think is totally within the realm of possibility, but unless you're trying to encourage replay, I think that also sometimes encourages people just to, like, hey, don't bother looking at anything that we spent all this time making. Just go through the game as fast as you can and, like, don't worry about it, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of get that vibe sometimes when I see stuff like that. But the thing that's interesting about, you know, and it's not just the achievements, too. They structure the game in such a way that the game tracks your deaths. And not only does it track your deaths, but it tracks them, like, across your save file, if that makes any sense. So if you were to die, but then you reloaded your save, like, the death would still be on that save file. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So it's, like, kind of designed as this hardcore experience, which I'm not really, that doesn't really do it for me. But, like, just if you play casually, you know, playing through the story normally, it's, I think it's a lot of fun. And something else that I think is interesting with the way that they handle saving in the game is that you have your life bar on one side, and then you also have a blue bar, which you use for abilities and, like, special attacks and stuff like that, but it's also what you use for saving the game. So you can save anywhere that is sort of designated as a safe area where you're not in combat and it's not on, like, a platform that might crumble underneath you or something. So you can save anywhere you want, but which is, you know, useful if you're getting towards a hard part or whatever. But if you're trying to, for example, go for the achievement in which you complete the game without dying, the only way to sort of skirt around that is to copy your save file to another slot and then, like, try to complete the part. And then if you don't, you have to load that one and so on and so forth.
That just sounds obnoxious.
Yeah, just so you can get your save file to show that you did not die, because it maintains a persistent count of deaths, which is really weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that whole thing was kind of weird. But all that being said, you know, UI, you know, game stuff aside, like, just the playing of the game is very fun and satisfying. And there are truly some difficult pieces in the game. If you've never played those sections before, if you're, like, not particularly comfortable with platformers and doing, like, crazy Mario tricks and stuff like that, this game definitely has them, and it will challenge your platforming abilities. So I would recommend it for sure. It's a Microsoft game.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, I actually forgot there's two mobile games I played.
Okay.
And I played that Lifeline game that you and I briefly chatted about on Slack.
Nice.
The App Store put it up for free, and I grabbed it and played it. I thought it was a really engaging way to play a story. But you said you had a problem with the ending, which I don't know if we want to spoil it or whatever.
Oh,
but
no. I mean, I only had I don't even think it was the ending. I only had one problem with one thing, one line of dialogue in the game that, like, just kind of took me out of it just a little bit. I don't know if I should say what it is or not.
Yeah, go for it. Who cares?
Okay, so
there's, like, a million lines of dialogue in
that's
game.
True. At one point in the game, there's a I don't remember what the dialogue was, but you get to I think it might have been his crew members or some other crew members or something like that.
Okay,
but they name, like, four names of people. Like, these are the crew members, blah, 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 blah. It's the names of the people from Upright Citizens Brigade, the TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
it's like, it? Anton, Colby, Adair. And I was like, oh, Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh.
And I was like, that's a cool Easter egg, but it kind of, like, took me out of this immersive experience that I was, like, trying to get this person off of the planet, you know, like, all this stuff. So
I'm mad that I missed that now. Yeah, I totally missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought otherwise it was, like, so basically, Ash, do you know what this game is?
Have it on my iPad. I just have not played it yet.
Yeah, so the game does push notifications to your phone when the character in the game that you're, like, helping guide through a scenario wants to talk to you. So you'll start getting, like, you'll look at your phone and you'll have, like, 10 messages from the guy. And you'll open it up and you can read through it, and then it'll give you, like, diverging kind of choose your own adventure paths that you can choose through the game. So he'll be like, oh, blah, 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 I'm trying to go here. What do you think I should do? And then you'll give him a choice, and then he'll follow it. And then the story kind of diverts there to whatever way you have him go. It seemed like a game you could lose, but
Did
not.
Oh, absolutely. I think you can.
Yeah, it seemed like a game you could definitely die and or lose in other ways, probably. But I made it. I got all the way through the whole thing and survived and whatnot.
Yeah, I did as well. I think that's an example of a game that is, like, it uses the device that it's on and the capabilities of that device, like, in a unique way that no, like, you really couldn't play this game on any other device, which I think
totally
is really
agree.
Cool. That's why it's worth playing,
Yeah, it absolutely is. And there's a bunch of new stories. So you can replay the story like in fast mode, they call it, or you can, you know, just play it normal again and if you want it and try different paths. But then they're doing new chapters, right? Or not chapters.
I think there are sequels. I think there's Lifeline 2 and Lifeline 3. Yeah.
And each one of them, from what I understand, is not the same character. I think it's new stories that they're writing.
That's cool.
If I'm correct. But it was really fun. I enjoyed it. I would just like, it was kind of, it's a little weird because it's not actually timed. Like, you, if you get the notifications, you can ignore them for like 6 hours if you wanted, and nothing would happen.
Yeah.
But it was weird because I felt sort of like pressured. Like, you get them and you're like, oh man, you like read through the whole thing. And like, I'd be like, you know, cooking and then just stop all of a sudden staring at my phone, reading like 10 lines of dialogue before I make a choice. And
yeah, it's like super immersive in that way. I thought that was really cool.
That's really unique.
Sounds good. And then the other one was I picked up Adult Swim's Pocket Mortys, which is the basically Pokemon version of Rick and Morty version of Pokemon, I guess is the way to put it.
Okay.
I heard it's awesome.
do you guys watch Rick and Morty at all?
No.
It doesn't seem like it's on your radar. It's really fun. It's Dan Harmon from Community. It's his cartoon that he created with another guy, and it's sort of in the vein, it's on Adult Swim, and it's in the vein of like, you know, Aqua Teen or Adventure Time, like that kind of zany comedy, but it's got a good line through it. Like the Rick character and the Morty character are really well put together and are fun. I put it off watching it for a long time because it's 2 seasons in now, and or a season and a half or something, and I just started watching it a few months ago, and then I saw Pocket Morty's come up and I was like, oh, I'll play this. It's dumb fun. It's the same as like the Star Wars game, essentially. Like, you it's a lot of tapping, and you know, it's kind of grindy at points, but like, it's brainless. You can sit and it doesn't require internet, which is a game that I always look for. So
cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's you know, I don't know if, I think it costs like $1.99 or something. I don't know, but worth it. If you like Pokemon style games, it is basically Pokemon, and there's a lot of weird humor in it, and it's fun. But yeah, so I played those two as well. Forgot about that.
I actually have a mobile game too, if I can add one more thing.
Sure.
You
don't have time to game, though, but you did play the most games out of all three of us this week.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's good point. I've been making time.
He did it while he was diarrheaing all over the place.
Oh, my gosh. Gross.
Just like hosing down the whole hallway, playing some
iPad game.
even when I was lying in bed at one point, I was like, looking at my phone made me nauseous. It was so awful.
I hate being that sick.
Yeah, it was the worst. But I was looking, because I was trying to get away from those like Tappy Tap games, because it was kind of like taking over my life.
Sure.
And I found a game which is like pretty chill, and I can play it with one hand, which is nice, because I'm like, my son is like napping on me sometimes.
Yeah.
The game is called Card Crawl, and it is a it's sort of like a card game that's sort of based off of Solitaire, but it's like a dungeon crawler. So the person will deal 4 cards from a deck, and they'll be like swords or monsters or shields or potions or special abilities. And then you have to find ways to pull all the cards sort of off of those spots in order to get through the entire deck. So you're kind of managing the inventory. That because you can pull cards into your character's inventory slots, and basically you're trying to manage the inventory in a way that helps you to defeat the monsters in the deck and make it through the deck to exhaust it. And so it's a really simple game. You can play through a round in like 2 or 3 minutes. The designer added a bunch of specialty cards, which are like your special ability cards, and those are the ones that you unlock over time by collecting coins that you you know, obtain by winning the game. There's no microtransactions. It's just a one-time fee. So the money that you earn is just through normal gameplay, and then you use those to unlock cards. And there are some really cool abilities. Like some abilities actually make the game harder and some make it easier. And it's really just about like trying to score the highest amount of points possible. And then using some of the challenging cards is useful because there are like quests in the game. And by completing a quest, you can unlock new avatars for your character or the avatar of the character that's like dealing the cards. So yeah, it's a pretty chill game. I think it's like $3. It's called Card Crawl, and there's like a daily dungeon. There's leaderboards. Oh, you can, if you construct a deck of specialty cards, I think you can share them with your friends. So if you like found, I think there's 40 cards right now that you can unlock, the ability cards. So if you put five together that you think are cool, you can like share them with the community and your friends and stuff like that. So it's a pretty fun game. It's pretty chill.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk briefly about the Division beta, which is actually currently going on and will be going on until, I don't know, a couple more days, right? And then it's over until the game comes out. So they have a nice 3 or 4 day long beta, depending on what platform you're on. And then everything goes dark for a little while. And then the game comes out the 3rd of March, I want to say.
I thought it was, yeah. Is it
might
March?
Be the 8th.
I thought it was March 8th.
Might be the 8th.
Yeah, I think
something
it's 8th.
Like that.
Cool. Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of these third-person shooters. Everyone who's been listening forever knows that I like cover-based shooters. I think they're a lot of fun. I also like the loot system that exists in games like Borderlands, and this, of course, borrows from that heavily. So there's, you know, commons and rares and uncommons and different types of guns and mods and things that you can get. So I like the collection aspect of the Division, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the overall mechanic that's just very different is it's this open world third person shooter. It takes place in Manhattan after there is some sort of viral outbreak and the majority of the population's gone. There's still some stragglers, but there's definitely not millions of civilians. There's like maybe dozens of civilians still left in the city.
Right.
And you kind of go around and you're trying to secure areas and try and take the city back from different gangs and ne'er-do-wells that are kind of creeping around the city.
And the cleaners, those are cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's cool. I mean, the thing that I guess struck me as really interesting is the fact that there aren't really servers, but it's online all the time. So you have to be online to play. And there will be other players that exist in your world. And when I was playing, I was just like running around the city and I looked at the map and I saw Scott's gamer tag there. And I was able to like run up and find him without really, you know, without us linking up or anything like that. He was just in my world, which
really?
I thought was really, yeah, it was really cool.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, it was really cool. I don't know if that happens all the time, if it like linked us together because we are, you know, both.
It looks like it is linking you together if you're friends.
Yeah.
And like level-ish the same.
Oh, that's cool.
Because it looks like when I went and looked at the friend thing, it looked like it was doing some math on like who I'd want to group with and then who was around me currently.
Oh,
like,
nice.
It was like, this person's just around you. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, Scott, how would you describe like the basic mechanics of how the game works? You know,
I think that, you know, because of the sort of like a recency effect, I think a lot of people might look at a game like The Division and go, oh, it's like Destiny, you know, because that's what's kind of like out and popular right now. But I really do think that this game has more in common with Borderlands than it does with Destiny, which I'm really excited about. And it looks like, you know, at least from my experience, it looks like the game that you are playing is sort of like your game world. Because I, before we started recording, I actually saw Matt was playing and I went into his game world, but it actually dropped me into his game, but where I was in my game. So it didn't actually put me with him. I had to go to find where he was, which is really weird. So it's almost, I could have like continued playing my game, but in his world, which is really confusing. I'd really be interested to see how that like works out moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought it was a lot of fun. And what we see in the beta is that there are, you have this base, you establish a base of operations somewhere like early on in the game, but the base is run down and you need to go out into the city to recover people and find upgrades and do things that will help to improve your base of operations, which in turn give your character more abilities that they can unlock and use in the game, which I think is really cool mechanics. So the main story missions look like they're going to be sort of these scripted experiences, scripted story experiences, where you go to recover these characters and set up your base of operations. And then there are like minor supporting missions, some of which are like established in the game world. So it'll be something like, hey, we need to go, you know, turn on the air purifiers or something. So you'll run through this like little zone and kill some guys and then turn on the air purifiers and that's it. I've also seen missions that sort of happen organically. So on the way to the base, there's sort of like a shootout that's taking place in the streets, and you can kind of join the task force that's fighting there on the street and like, you know, fight the criminals that are attacking them and trying to steal the supplies. And then you're like on your way again, which I think is really what makes the game special, is that a lot of it can feel very organic, you know, that you're just kind of, you just sort of randomly encounter things in the world. And there are just, you know, civilians and AI just kind of hanging out, and you can help this, you know, some of the civilians, you can help them, like you collect water and like batteries and things that you never use on your character. You just give them to the civilians and they give you like in the beta, they're giving you gear that allows you to customize your appearance, but not like, it's not armor or anything. It's just, you know, a different jacket or a different hat or something like that. So, I don't know. I think that, what I enjoy most about it is sort of that organic nature of like, when I jump into the game, I don't necessarily know what it is I'm going to do in the game. But I just kind of figure it out as I go. I just explore, you explore, you kind of like look into things. There are some buildings occasionally that you can kind of wander into, and some of the buildings will have locked doors, which require a lockpick. And so lockpicks in the game are super rare. And I think that's where a lot of the goodies will be hidden, at least in the single player side of the, of the game is like, so you struggle to find these lockpicks, right? And then you go searching through buildings and you eventually find a door that you can open and you're like, cool. And there's like a couple of bags inside and stuff like that. So
have either of you guys ever played DayZ at all?
No,
I did not.
So I played it briefly. And it is, you know, just for it's a good analysis of human nature. And there's a lot of things in the Division beta that remind me a lot of DayZ, just the way people treat each other, the way people act.
Oh yeah. We didn't even talk about that. The dark zone.
Yeah. So there is a dark zone, and it's a anything goes PvP zone. So you can't just, you know, fire on regular people in the game world. But in the dark zone, you can open fire and kill them and take their stuff if they're carrying any, you know, any loot. So, you know, one of the things about DayZ that's so fascinating is just the way other players treat each other. Sometimes players will, you know, open fire and just murder each other haphazardly, and sometimes they'll help each other out and you know, go on adventures together. And that's kind of what I'm discovering in the dark zone in the Division beta. You know, we were talking about this right before we started recording, but it's pretty exciting to go into an area and have to really, we're talking about like a pretty vast, you know, open world area, and have to worry about getting shot. So the way people kind of behave in an environment like that is just cool to be in. You know, it adds that sense of danger, especially if you pick up something that you really want.
You're like, oh my gosh. Shit. Yeah.
Shit. I really want this trendy knit cap.
Yes.
Like I really want this trendy knit cap. I don't want to die and have it taken from me. And so you have to really fight and extract that piece of gear. It doesn't automatically belong to you in the dark zone, which I think is really cool.
Oh my gosh. When you collect things, you know, it goes into a separate inventory and you can only hold 6 things. And I remember at one point I was carrying four pieces of contaminated gear I had to extract, and I was literally like anxious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm like carrying around like all this stuff, and you don't, because when you have contaminated gear, your avatar has this like bright yellow bag that's hanging underneath their backpack. So it's very easy to tell who is carrying something and who isn't, right?
Right.
So you basically have this big target on your back, and I'm like, holy crap, I need to find a place that doesn't have a lot of people where I can call this helicopter and wait for 2 minutes and get this thing out of here, you know, because It's crazy. But like you mentioned with the PvP, what I think is really interesting is that if somebody, if a team does go rogue and attack other players in the Dark Zone, they basically get a big target painted on them, and the target becomes bigger and sort of more salient, and the timer on them expands longer the more people they kill. And if it reaches like a certain threshold, the game actually alerts you. It says like manhunt, like on your HUD. And it's crazy because I've never seen people band together in a way, like in a game like this, when like two people just go off and start killing, you know, other players.
Yeah. When I was just playing before breakfast, there were three guys that teamed up and decided to just go rogue and try and hold an area for as long as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And they were up in a building, and kind of just raining down bullets into the street and killing people.
Yeah.
And Manhunt went off, and like, you know, all the other players in the zone were kind of converging on these three guys, and they were up there. They were kicking ass. I mean, they really? They killed a lot of people before they eventually lost. But
I saw the opposite. I saw two guys decide that they were going to try to kill somebody, and they did. But then like everybody else in the map, like five people were chasing two other people, like throughout the entire map, because they just ran, right? And so it just became this crazy foot chase where we were like jumping over cars and like, you know, it was like gunfire and windows were exploding. It was really kind of cool to be a part of. So it was cool.
Yeah. So real quick story that's actually very funny. There's a big intersection and a bunch of broken down cars. And at the other end of the intersection, maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 feet away, there's a guy with a sniper rifle trained on me. And he takes a shot, and I actually, like, it came so close to my character, I actually saw the trail from the bullet, like, wow, in my vision. And I was like, whoa, like, that's not cool. So I draw my gun, and I kind of dip behind a car, and he steps out from his cover and starts doing jumping jacks in the street. And I'm like, all right. So I take my gun out, and I aim it at him. I'm like, I don't want to flag myself, because he missed. And if I would have hit him first, I would have been flagged. So I draw my gun on him. And I'm like, oh, he's trying to bait me into flagging myself. And he ends up doing more jumping jacks in the street. So I'm like, fine, I'll do jumping jacks too. So we're at either ends of the intersection, both doing jumping jacks, just waiting for the other guy to shoot. And finally, he takes another shot at me and he clips me, but he doesn't get a headshot. He clips me like in the chest. And it turned into like this 5-minute sniper war in the streets, just like us dipping behind cars.
Wild West style.
Yeah. And eventually I killed him. It was really, really fun though.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is just really neat because, you know, you never know. You know, human behavior is like the one variable in video games that is just, to me, still very, very fascinating. Like, we got to the point in competitive shooters where it was just everyone behaved the same because the only goal was to kill.
Right.
And now it's like, well, you can work together if you want to. It's your choice. And so I think the thing that's neat about this game, about The Division, is that, okay, you're giving players the choice.
Yeah.
To be good or to be evil, and how are they going to react, you know? So I think that's really cool.
It's like you could have, you know, somebody might join you entering a building to clear out a bunch of AI enemies, but then when all the enemies are dead and the loot's sitting on the ground, like, you're both kind of looking at each other, and it's like, all right, who's going to take this loot? Or, like, right, are we both going to walk out of here, you know, together or not, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But as far as that Dark Zone goes, gameplay-wise, it does matter because if you kill AI, if you kill other players, you gain XP. It's a separate rank from your player level. And there's a separate gear system, separate currency for the Dark Zone in The Division. And that's where you do get the best loot. And actually, if you die, you lose some experience and some of the currency in the Dark Zone. So there is an incentive. And of course, you drop any of the contaminated gear that you were carrying if you bleed out. You can go back and get it if you're fast enough and nobody else is there. But there is a gameplay component. There are consequences for dying and for killing other people and not and stuff like that. So pretty crazy. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, you know, obviously there are a few, you know, little speed bumps here and there, but it is still a beta. They still have, you know, a month to polish stuff up. But
and like you said, it only feels like we're seeing, like, you know, a very small, very, very small slice of what the game actually is.
Right.
So much of it is locked and grayed out and stuff like that.
I know, like 90% of, you know, the RPG of the RPG elements of the game aren't even available at this point. So it's, you can't really customize your character. You can't really, you know, customize your trees at this point.
There's a crafting system where you have to collect like parts and stuff. That's not available yet. There's blueprints.
Yeah. So there's a lot to do. So,
Apparently, looking in the dark zone, there is like super high level. There's, you know, like just like there are lockpicks in the single player area. There's like an equivalent of that in the dark zone with special chests in contaminated areas that I think you can try to unlock and get the gear out without getting killed. So I think that's in the game cool. as well. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Good times.
Cool. Can't wait. I've only played for an hour.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Play some more.
What'd you do in the hour?
I just got started in the single player campaign or whatever, but I do like the feeling, because my biggest concern was if this is one of those co-op games where, you know, if you guys are busy and I can play for a little bit, that I can't get in and do, you know, like, what's a good example? Like, you're comparing it to Borderlands, which I think is a really fair comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Borderlands 2 was brutal if you tried to single it, like if you tried to solo it.
And it's also hard if the levels are mismatched too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this game just felt more like, this feels a lot more fluid as far as like, you know, you jumped into my game without me even knowing. There was literally zero communication between the two of us. You just jumped in and you happened to be over where you were working. But at the same time, like, it would have been easy for you to run over and be like, oh, hey, and throw on headsets and hang out and start playing the game for a little bit. And then if you have to go, you have to go and I can keep going. It definitely didn't feel like they're either nerfing it or making it too hard if you're soloing at the moment, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
That was nice. That's always my biggest concern with these games is, can I play it, you know, when I have time, even if you guys can't? And if you can, then is it still good and fun when that happens, you know? Which it feels like there is plenty of things to do, I guess.
It definitely seems like variety. For sure. I also like, I don't know if you noticed this, but I also like that the money is meaningful. It's not a game where, you know, the dollar increments are like in increments of 10,000 or something.
Right.
You know, like when I find like $25, I'm like, oh, awesome. You know, like the money is meaningful.
Yeah.
In the dark zone and outside of it too, which I think is more
like
realistic.
A gun costs like the bulk of my wealth. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so finding a gun and, you know, is a big deal. So I think that's great.
Everything emphasizes the struggle, like the tension, you know, like you're really trying to scrape it all together to fight, you know?
Good times.
Cool. Well, I think, all right, well.
It's a shorty, but a goodie. Thank you guys for listening to episode 219 of the Rated NA podcast. As always, you guys can find us on Twitter, and it's at NerdAppropriate. You can go to Facebook.com/NerdAppropriate. You can email nerds@nerdappropriate.com if you have any questions or comments that you want to send our way. If you want to email us directly, that is mattscottash@nerdappropriate.com. And of course, subscribe all over the place, iTunes.
Coming
iTunes
soon to
Junior.
Amazon Echo.
Yeah, are we going to do the Amazon Echo thing?
Sure. I don't know.
Sweet.
It doesn't seem too hard. We can do it.
Let's do it. So
sure,
coming
I don't
soon.
Know. Sure, I don't know.
Coming soon to Amazon Echo, so you can tell your Alexa units to play our stuff.
Excellent.
True.
And we'll be back next week with all new stuff. So thank you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm really into this new mic. I'm really stoked about it. Glad
Sweet.
We're doing this.
glad we're doing this.
I'm glad we're doing this.
I'm glad we're doing this as well.